Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm your host, Joel Fragamenti, going to tell you what's going on this week at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle. Should be a fun week with Joe Mackey returning. We're going to tell you we've got an old interview with Joe, but we've got a new interview, too. We'll get into that in a second. All right. I got new stuff for you. Let's start with Wednesday, December 3rd. The 101 comedy class comes in at 7:30 p.m. Friends and family mostly for these classes, but always a fun show, seeing people, a lot of them on stage for the first time, having just finished the beginner comedy class with Bill Bouchard. So that's at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, December 3rd. Also, comedy class information. People have been asking me about all the classes. You can always call the club at 248-542-9900 and inquire about when the next classes are starting. I will tell you, the advanced comedy class with me starts January 10th. So that's 5 weeks from now, all right? Yeah, January 10th. That's a Saturday at 12:30. If you've done a little bit of comedy and want to take it further, maybe you've done the 101 comedy class and want to take it a little further, sign up for the advanced comedy class. We'll get you going on a career in stand-up comedy, teach you how to do it professionally, make you better, make you understand the business a lot more. That's what we do in the advanced comedy class. I love doing it. I want you guys to sign up for that. If you feel like you need a little help in stand-up, sign up for the advanced comedy class. Yeah, call the club at 248-542-9900. And beginner comedy classes are starting all the time. I think they may be done for December, but in January there'll be new ones with Bill Bouchard. So if you've never done stand-up or you have a friend or family member that you think would be good at stand-up comedy, you can gift them the beginner comedy class. But again, call the club at the number I just gave. That's Wednesday. Thursday, Joe Mackey. The great Joe Mackey comes in at 7:30 p.m. That's our Thursday show. Two shows on Friday, 7:15 and 9:45 are those shows. And then Saturday night, 7 p.m. and 9:30. So that's December 6th. So December 4, 5, and 6 for Joe Mackey. Diego Atanasio, he is the feature act this weekend. And Ja'Cory Hawkins is the MC. Ja'Cory's the interview I did for this week. So I talked to Ja'Cory Hawkins, a young comic from Flint, on this week's show. He did a great job talking to me. He's if I had to pick one guy that I thought was going to be a star in comedy going forward, that is on the Michigan comedy scene, that's not already headlining shows, I think I'd pick Ja'Cory. I think he's that good. He's got great personality. He's super funny. He's a professional. It was a pleasure to talk to him today. And I really think he's going to be an asset on this show this weekend. So get there early to see Ja'Cory. I'll be talking to him in just one second. The Joe Mackey interview is from about a year and a half ago. It was April of 24 when I talked to Joe. He wasn't available for me this week, but I'm going to tack that after Ja'Cory. So just stay tuned and you'll hear from Joe Mackey. You don't even have to track down the show from 24. You'll just get that one. But Joe has performed all over late night television. He's a regular on the Greg Gutfeld show on Fox News. He was voted the 2013 funniest comedian by the New York Comedy Festival, and just accolades up. He's unique. He's got accolades up and down. Everyone in comedy thinks Joe Mackey's one of the funniest guys, and I agree with that. You'll hear that in the interview, so stay tuned after Ja'Cory, all right? That's that. Should we just go to the interview? No, I stopped. I made my point, and now there's nothing else to say. Oh, here's what I talk. I talked to Joe about, I know we talked about live podcasts. Well, we didn't like those. We talked about awkward rides to the airport when you're a comedian. You got to deal with those. We try to not make these awkward interviews, but it's a fun talk with Joe, so stay tuned for that. But Ja'Cory, I talked to Ja'Cory about starting out in comedy. He was funny in high school, but he wasn't the class clown. We'll talk about how he went Detroit to L.A. last year, the big competition, and went out to L.A. to do those shows. And he's done some shows in L.A., Atlanta. He's all about he can work clean, but it's maybe not his favorite, but he'll do it. He wants you to book him for your holiday party. So come out this weekend. We'll also talk about social media. Well, I think Ja'Cory's really funny on social media. And I think you guys should give him a follow, all right? We'll put the link up on ComedyCastlePodcast.com so you can find Ja'Cory, all right? Sound good? That's our show. The interviews will just kind of go from one to the other, and then I'll wrap it up a little bit for you at the end. Here's Ja'Cory Hawkins, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, it is a pleasure to have on the show for the very first time. It's Ja'Cory Hawkins, your MC this weekend. What's going on, Ja'Cory? How you doing?
What up, good people? How y'all doing tonight? I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm doing okay.
You're doing all right, but it's Comedy Castle week. I know as a comic and done so many of them in my career, it's always a big week when you're at the Comedy Castle. It's always fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, I haven't been in the castle in a while.
Yeah. I feel like I saw, did you do like a Rumble? We had a Rumble not that. Were you on that one?
No, I wasn't on the most recent Rumble. I think I only did the Rumble. I did it a while ago. It's been a minute since I was on the Rumble. I think the last time I was supposed to be there, I think, was for Detroit to LA.
Okay.
But yeah, we had a snowstorm and I couldn't make it out, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is your Detroit to LA? You haven't won that, right? Officially?
No, I won that. What year is this? 2023, I think.
Okay, you did win it in 23.
Yeah, wait. No, I won last year because I went to LA.
Oh, okay.
Last year.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, 24. I knew you always did so well in that thing that if you hadn't won it, it's like, how did you not win?
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel. Third time was a charm, though.
Yeah. But you're a guy that, you know, and I think even the last time I saw you at the club, I thought this to myself. I'm like, he's getting better. Like, you know, because some guys, they come out and they're hot. I don't know how many years you've been in the business. How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it, so technically since 2019, so that's 6 years.
Yeah.
But COVID hit right after.
Yeah, COVID hit, so yeah.
And so I got consistent probably like 2020 was COVID. Probably like 22, I think, is when I started to be consistent.
Yeah,
so
you're a young guy. But some guys, I see them and they just, it's not... I don't know. They're just they regress or they feel like they got to write a whole new act and do all. And it's like, you're always good, man. I'm so impressed by you.
Oh, man, I definitely appreciate that, man. That means a lot coming from you.
Yeah. And it's not only just your material, which is hilarious, but you have a great, like, you're smiling on stage. You're like happy to be up there. It seems like.
Yeah, it's like, a lot of fun. Yeah. That's like some of my like funnest moments, being on stage, having a nice little moment with the crowd. I definitely enjoy it.
And people like you when they see you, which is completely the opposite of when I hit the stage.
You know, I done made a couple crowds mad myself.
Well,
you
can always do that, but, you know, at least you're starting from, hey, this guy's smiling and we want to like him.
Yeah.
You can turn him. But yeah, at least you got him. When I walk on stage, I don't have him. I got to get him. When you walk on stage, you got him. That's the difference.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, it's definitely it's fortune. I don't know what makes it.
Well, it's who you are. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm a nice guy, but sometimes people look at me and I don't think that.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I learned how to work a room in school.
Oh, in school. All right. School. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I went to a big high school, so I got used to a lot of people just being around and kind of like that kind of, I think that broke me out of my shell a little bit. And then when I went to college, I was like kind of free and it was like, you know, started to socialize. I joined the fraternity and I feel like all of those things just kind of built me into like a more extroverted person.
Okay.
Even when I'm introverted a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you say you were the class clown in high school? Would people call you that?
Not the class clown.
No.
Like, you knew I was funny if you talked to me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't say anything to you, you probably didn't really know I was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people were surprised that I was like funny if they weren't around me. It's like, I'd be funny sometimes.
Right.
But it depends.
And I think that makes for a better comedian than the class clown. You know, I think the class clown is annoying. You know, I think the class clown is a guy who can't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah. Unless they're genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like a genuinely funny class clown is like, all right, I get it because you're funny. Everybody gives them a pass because it's good. But you're like a class clown that's just annoying. It's like, all right.
But it's the guys who are kind of sit and they observe and they watch everybody and they're thinking of funny stuff, but they don't let it out until they have that one friend or that couple of friends and they get around them.
Yeah. That's why I like doing that, like random events, like funerals, sitting next to somebody and laughing a little bit because you can't just be sad the whole time.
Yeah. That's great, man. So you said started 21. Where are you at now? I know, you're from Flint area, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I still live here.
Still live in Flint. That's good. Now, and because of that, and I don't think there's that much comedy up there, you've produced some comedy yourself, haven't you, up there?
Yeah. I have a monthly show that I do at a spot called Soothing Tunes. My next show is actually this December 19th. Mm-hmm. I got a comedian named Boogie headlining. Have you ever worked with Boogie?
Yeah, Boogie, Alton Boogie Williams.
Yeah.
I've met him. I don't know him real well or anything, but I know who he is, yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised y'all haven't had him on, because he's I consider him hilarious.
Well, he's got a good rep, but he does a lot of his own, like, punchline and kind of does his own thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is good, but yeah, he's not a guy that works our club regularly.
For sure. Well, yeah, I have him coming up on my next show, and then every once in a while I'll do some one-off shows, yeah. And I'm really just trying, I'm deciding if I want to grow from here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, I always tell, like people in my class and that, it's like, well, you make your own stage time when you produce a show.
Absolutely. That's the main reason I did.
Yeah. And that's so smart, because it's a precious thing, stage time, when you're starting out. Yeah.
Especially because a lot of the open mics that I need to hit are in the Detroit area. Mm-hmm. And so, I was like, if I want to get more stage time without having to do an hour drive every single time,
yeah,
you need to produce more.
Get that stuff going up there. Nice.
Yeah.
Tell me what you were doing before stand-up comedy. What was the thing that made you do it? What made you say, hey, I'm getting on stage tonight, I'm trying this?
I think one of the main moments, I always thought I was like a funny person. I just didn't think I was like stage funny. I thought I was just like was situational funny. Yeah. And then I had a roast for my 25th birthday. My ex put together a birthday roast for me.
Yeah.
And that was like one of my first times like being funny on stage, mm-hmm. just in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And so then I have a friend, her name is Kay. She produces a show down here and she let me get on the first show. Like, she let me do my first show with
her. Oh, nice.
And so my first show was at like a booked show. Had to sell tickets to make money. Cool, because it was my first time doing comedy, so it's easy.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was that. And then after that, like I got the bug. I did my first open mic that following Monday.
Mm-hmm. Nice, you hit the ground running.
Yeah,
took off.
Yeah. And then from there, it's just been try and grow.
Absolutely,
I decided to like. I love it a little bit differently now. At first, it was just exciting. Now it's kind of like an art form that I truly appreciate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah. And then, so where have you been with comedy? Where's it taken you? You went to L.A. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, so I went to L.A. with you all. Well, I did the Flappers. I did the Burbank Comedy Festival. Mm-hmm. And that was cool, like, just to be in a different, like, completely different location, mm-hmm. Brand new people. I knew one person down there just by chance.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, just being in a new space and, like, creating a new network of people that I still connect with now.
Okay, yeah.
And then I went back out there for the Chocolate Sundays First Impressions.
Okay, yeah.
And that was really fun, too. Mm-hmm. So that was my first time doing the Laugh Factory.
Right.
That was an amazing space to be able to perform in. So that's the farthest I think it's taken me at this point. I mean, of course, all around Michigan. I've been in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, man. And then you also, and I was checking this out because I knew I was going to talk to you today. All of the social media reaction and stuff you do is very funny.
Oh, thank you.
I enjoyed that. 100 reps. That was the one I watched before the interview. I'll let people go seek that one out before we tell them what the 100 reps means.
Look, it's comedian Jacory. But yeah, a lot of this stuff I find, and then now people will send me stuff. And I'm just like, wow. Sometimes I'll make a video immediately. I won't even tell them. I'll just make it because I'm just astonished. I'm like, I might as well say something.
Yeah, that's great. Those things are funny, man. And some of those guys, there's so much of that content. And so many of those guys, when I watch their reaction, it's like, that's not even good. Like, your reaction's like, it's something. Like, some people, I think, just make it to make it and hope
the
algorithm feeds it. And yours is actually funny.
I hate the videos where they just watch it with you on the green screen.
Yeah.
Those videos make me angry every time. Because like, why are you, you didn't even say anything. Right. You just said you're making faces that you rehearsed.
Yeah. 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 It's so much, you know, I mean, people say, you know, social media is where comics need to go and do their thing. And that's true. And if you're really good at it, you can find an audience. You can do all of that. But there's a lot of people who shouldn't be on stage anywhere being funny, who really shouldn't be doing social media. But there's no barrier. You know, with stand-up, at least you got to go someplace and walk on. Social media, anybody can make anything. And it's a lot of garbage out there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the algorithm that it feeds you, you know?
Yeah.
If there are people out there who like this, the simplicity of it, they'll have a community out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think both of them are a separate skill set. I don't think stand-ups are good at social media, and I definitely don't think a lot of social media people are good at stand-up.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens.
That's a whole lane. It's like, hey, he's like, you know, if it's working for you, hopefully. And I've seen some of them get better.
Yeah.
They just, unfortunately, their open mics are sold out theaters.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, they're learning with sold out crowds instead of apathetic, you know, bars where people don't even know there's a comedy show, and you got to learn that way. And people are selling it out. Yeah. We have those guys come through our club, and, you know, the thing I'll say is I think completely what you're saying is correct. A lot of those guys just don't have enough of an act, but you know, people want to see them. They want to take a picture with them. The guy from their phone is now in front of them, and there's something that feels cool about that. But a lot of those guys don't have an act. And I think unless they don't get better, I don't think they're going to sell tickets again.
No, yeah. You only got like one time.
Yeah, you get one shot.
Yeah, and then it's like you have to be something. You have to at least put together a good show.
Yeah. Well, you're doing the thing, man. You're now tell me about your act as far as I feel like you were clean or you can work clean, or is that am I completely off base here?
No, I definitely can work clean. It just depends on the mood I'm in that day, honestly. Whatever I find funny enough. I got a new joke that I really like, then, you know, I might not be clean, but I can.
But they can. But they could book you for a church show if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely. I've done a couple church shows.
Yeah, there you go. You know, those were fun.
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely fun. You know, they keep me more, I have to be way more intentional with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because there will be some times like I'll just naturally will say a cuss word and I don't realize it. And so I have to be way more thoughtful when I'm at a clean show. So I'm I have to pick my words very intentionally.
Right. Yeah. I did a clean show last summer and I was opening. I was the MC and it was tough. It was tough when you work dirty and you're used to the joke and you go, this one's not dirty. And then you're thinking about what the punchline is and you're like, oh boy, I curse in this punchline. It's coming.
Yeah, I kind of go in when I'm like getting ready for a clean show. I'm like, most of my material is dirty. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Talk to me.
Yeah, I figure it out.
You do. And then people, you know, I've even had this where you go like, I'll just talk to the crowd. And then you end up swearing at the crowd
Yeah, you got to find the moments that's just close to dirty in the crowd without it being too bad.
Well, this weekend you can do it. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You know, he has a lot of shows. He has to be a popular guy.
Oh, Joe Mackey? Yeah, Joe Mackey's, he does, he's a guy that, you know, I've known about for years, and he's come through our club for years, but now he's got a whole following from the Gutfeld show, which maybe isn't a show that you watch or anything, but... That show's got an audience, and they turn out for Joe.
Okay, and, that's cool.
They're probably not your people in that sense, but I think they're going to love you.
Yeah. You know, I've done my first time emceeing was with Dave Landau.
Yeah.
And I feel like his crowd is much different than what I'm overall used to. But I work with Mike Ball.
Yeah.
He does shows like Northern Michigan. So, you know, I work with diverse populations at this point.
If you could do well with Dave Landau, you do well on those Northern Michigan shows, you're going to be great. You're going to do all right. Nothing to be afraid of.
Everything in between.
Go out and be you.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, go out there, have a good time, man. We gotta gotta laugh.
But you gotta get through that MC spot. That's always a challenge at the castle. You've done it. You know what?
Yeah,
it's
I've MC'd a couple times.
Yeah, MCing's hard, but you're good at it.
Yeah, it's just you gotta break in the crowd. That's all.
That's it.
You know, they came to laugh, but they gotta think about laughing when they get there for whatever reason.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't want to. They're like, what is this? I just got here. I don't have a drink. I can't laugh yet.
Absolutely. They're still getting settled in and decompressing from outside.
Yeah. But your personality wins them over. That's how I see it.
Yeah, that's the goal. You know, you got to trick them into laughing sometime.
Well, who was your big influence? What comedian would you say that was the guy for you that made you want to do stand-up or the guy you thought was the best at it?
So I would say growing up, the comedy special that I remember the most is Kings of Comedy.
Yeah, and that was huge.
Yeah. So definitely like Bernie Mac was my favorite out of the bunch. But even the way Steve Harvey hosted was like especially looking back now. And but then I also remember watching like Chris Rock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
And so Never Scared and all Bring those pain, earlier ones. And so those were a couple that I remember. And then I don't know when I got introduced to Richard Pryor, but it was like early enough to watch it on DVD.
Yeah, right.
And so those are the ones growing up that probably like set my like foundation for comedy.
Right. No, those are all great. And they're also interesting that I don't know. How old are you exactly? Or do you not say?
32.
Okay. So you're maybe a little older than I thought you were. But now comedians are being to a guy that's like, you couldn't even find their stuff if you wanted to. And that's like their number one guy. So you're still from that school like I am, where it was like in the 80s, there was only so many guys you could watch because there was only so many specials. There was only so many albums. And that was why every guy that's in their 40s and 50s talks about Richard Pryor and George Carlin, because those were the only guys that had specials, you know, Eddie Murphy. Yeah. Those were so huge because those were the ones that were on all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually didn't know Eddie Murphy did stand up until later in life. And then I was like, wow, the Nettie Professor does.
Dr. Doolittle,
Dr. Doolittle, yeah.
Yeah. No, but did you see his special on Netflix, the Eddie Murphy special?
The new one?
Yeah, it's a documentary, and he talks all about his stand up career. It was
I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah,
I haven't.
His stand up stuff is interesting to hear him talk about why he stopped doing it. I don't know if you want me to ruin it for you, but I had a good reason.
Yeah, I feel like I looked it up at one point. I know he was there was something with the was it like cancel culture-ish?
Well, it was that, but his thing was he wanted to, like most good comedians, he had to come up with new material to do the road. And he could not go to small comedy shows in New York City to try to work his stuff out because it got too crazy. Because he was such a big star that anywhere he went, it became this mob scene. And so he couldn't work out new material in front of people. And so he couldn't develop a new act to go out on the road with.
That's wild.
And that's not, you know, and probably today he could probably get away with that, I would think. But, you know, because I think audiences sort of understand that, but they would see him, you know, pop in these New York clubs unannounced and everyone would freak out and it was the press would show up and it was a thing and he couldn't deal with that anymore.
Truly a megastar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a problem. That's a good problem to have, I guess. And Eddie's done all right. When you see the special, if you get a chance to watch that documentary, it's pretty good.
Yeah, and planning on.
Yeah, Eddie's good. Again, as a kid, when Eddie Murphy's first, when Delirious, well, probably he was on SNL when I was about 10 years old, 11 years old, I think, he came out. And then, you know, those specials came, you know, a couple years after that. And Raw, I remember going to the movie theater watching Eddie Murphy Raw in the movies.
Yeah, no, that's real.
That was it. That was the stuff. And I don't think we were supposed to be in there. I don't think we were old enough. And we went
Absolutely not.
We went anyway. That was the most rebellious thing you could do when you were a kid. Sneak into the R-rated movie.
That's fair.
That's over now. Fair. You don't see kids. The kids see anything.
Yeah, everything is stream. I feel like streaming has changed everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's good for comedy, too. You're going to do a special one day. You ever thought about that yet?
I've definitely thought about it.
Yeah.
But I definitely, you know, I feel like I'm at a good point, but I want to grow a little bit more before I have to do that. You know, get a little more of a following,
That's
too.
It. Get some spots, do some headline. Have you done any headline spots yet?
I've done a couple headline spots.
All right.
My most recent one was at a spot in Grand Rapids called Ambrosia Theater.
Sure, I've heard of it, yeah.
And so it was a really good time, great crowd, sold out crowd for it. And so it was real fun. So it was called the Grand Rapids Grand Rapids Comedy Jam.
Nice.
And so that was a nice time.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. And that's what you do. You do them little shows. You headline those little shows. Get that act down. And you'll be headlining soon enough.
Yeah, that's the goal, you know.
Yeah.
Definitely, I feel like I'm enjoying the process, you know, and enjoying the growth. I got a lot of comedians that, like, some of my headliners around town, like Josh Adams, Melanie.
Yeah.
Like, I look at them, I'm like, that's the type of headliner I want to be.
Absolutely.
And so I'm cool with, like, growing and processing, and, you know, until I get to that point. So. I'm just enjoying it as I go.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it, man. We're going to enjoy you this weekend. We got five shows to come out this weekend and see.
Yes, I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun time.
Now, I think also, you know, last weekend, a lot of people did not make it out to the club because of the snowstorm that we got.
Oh, yeah.
So this is the week now. You missed last week.
Good.
And people can come now. And see it.
No snow this week.
Well, there might be a little bit of snow, but see the first big one shuts down Michigan. You know how it works.
Yeah.
That
absolutely.
First big one, everyone's like, I gotta stay home, and after a while they're like, yeah, whatever. We'll die, whatever. We don't wanna be stuck in the house.
Pretty much. Wednesday it snows, Thursday, no snow for the weekend.
Yeah, there we go. It should be great, man. We got a Lions game Thursday, but we ain't gonna worry about that. You'll see most of the game. Come on.
For sure.
Make it out. Well, Ja'Cory, hey, thanks so much, man. Anything you want to plug before we let you go?
You know, you all can follow me at Comedian Ja'Cory, and I'm available for booking.
Well, they'll come see you this weekend. You make sure you're in the lobby or whatever after so people can say hi to you and say, hey, Ja'Cory, come do the show.
Yeah, I'm
I got this thing.
It.
It's holiday time, Christmas parties.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to get into the market.
Well, we can talk more about that this weekend, but I want to thank you for joining us on the Comedy Castle podcast, and it's going to be a great weekend with you and Diego Atanasio, Joe Mackey. Should be fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Ja'Cory, we'll let you go, man. Hey, take care. We'll see you this weekend.
Thank you. Have a
good
one.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to finally have on my phone here Mr. Joe Mackey. How you doing tonight, Joe?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing well. This was a call that took some doing, so I'm glad you did that for me, and then I had to tell you I wasn't ready. We were sort of being very polite but rude at the same time.
Busy schedules.
We had a podcast at the club tonight, and we're getting more of those.
Oh yeah,
and they're kind of not my favorite shows.
I think they suck. It's like you're going to see why would I go to a comedy club to see an unplanned comedy show? I could go see a planned comedy show.
Exactly. But let me ask before you talk shit on this one. We had maybe you've been a guest on this one. I'm just guessing here. Because it's the Don't Call Me White Girl podcast. Have you been a guest on that one?
Never heard of it. And good for them doing what they do.
Exactly.
And maybe it's fine. But I've been on those live podcast shows myself.
Yeah.
And I'd rather be at a comedy show or telling my own jokes.
You'd rather be anywhere else than the live podcast.
Yeah. I just think it's not better than the jokes you wrote.
Exactly.
That's how I feel.
Exactly. You got great jokes, man. You're one of my favorites.
Oh, thank you.
And I've told you that. We've met. I worked at the club a long time. I've driven you to the hotel. Done that one. Yeah. We had that pleasure.
Yep. I think they were calling the cab driver left or something.
It might
How
have.
How long are you at home?
Yeah, we used to keep the comics in sort of a remote location in Troy, but now we've got a nice convenient one right in downtown Royal Oak for you now.
Yep.
And you'll be there. It'll be good. No awkward rides with me. Just this awkward talk.
It's shocking how often, like, you get to the club and the worst part is getting from the hotel to the club.
I know. I try not to be that guy because, you know, I work at the club. I'm a comic myself, and I can relate on some level. But there's also guys that just don't want to talk. They're done. They've done two shows. They're tired. It's over.
Well, it's not even that. It's like the one club used to have to use the hotel shuttle.
Yeah. Okay.
I remember, like, I went down like an hour before the show. I'm like, how do I book the shuttle? I was like, oh, they'll be back soon. And they got back when the first act was on, and the club's like, where are you? And I'm like, well, the shuttle just got here. So it's like,
they're dropping people off at Applebee's, and then they're going to be back for the headliner from the club.
yep.
But I know that's an awkward thing as a road comic, is the you know, you never know who picks you up from the airport and, you know, all that stuff.
Yep.
I'm sure you got some stories there, but you don't have to share them. That was a good story about the shuttle. That was a good story.
Yeah.
And what was I saying? So I actually recorded a podcast today with the feature act, Mike Cronin, and we were talking about you.
Oh, that name rings a bell.
Does it? Mike's originally from, I think, Cincinnati, but he's played Cleveland. He's played Philly. I know he did a special at Helium. He's a good dude.
Oh, cool.
You're going to like Mike if you never met him. He said he's a big fan of yours.
Oh, good. I hope it's a good. Hope it's going to be a good weekend.
Got a nice lineup, and we were talking about you and you know, I actually, he had never met you, and I said, well, I met Joe. And I said, my thing, and just from knowing you a little bit off stage, Joe Mackey on stage, kind of Joe Mackey off stage. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think a comedy's supposed to be, you know, pretty, you know, when you're writing your own material, I'm not playing a character. I'm just an odd guy. So I can't be anyone else than who I am.
That's it, man. I was watching, because I pulled a clip for the show, and I'm playing this clip, and it's hilarious. We'll talk about that in a second. But I don't know that you blinked for this minute clip.
Yeah, I tend to do that a lot.
Really?
I'm just paying attention to it. It's like I would have to like think of it like I'm focused on
concentrating
on the joke. Yeah, sorry about, I don't know if you hear that rattling. Wow, the wind really kicked up, but
that's all right.
Yeah, I'm focused on the joke at the moment, not even thinking about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people have noticed that.
It's different though. I like it. It's it's super funny. Like, I don't know what you did before stand-up comedy, but, you know, I would imagine you're somewhere and they're going, you should be a comedian. I'm guessing you've heard that in your life.
I always say it's the career that chooses you, because, like, if you have to love it and you have to be good at it, and you have to be able to put up with a lot of crap, even if you are good at it, for a long time before you really get a chance to succeed, so... It's not something you go in to be famous. You have to really like doing it.
Yeah, well, you're great at it, man. You're
thank you.
I was just talking. I was talking to Jeff Allen on Sunday night.
Oh, I ran into him. Yeah, I ran into him Sunday.
He was telling me stories about you guys in Cleveland together.
Yeah, what a brilliant thing he's doing the shows at 4 p.m. because just the way the world is now, after the pandemic, the late shows just became a harder sell. People started going to bed early. Yeah. Restaurants are closing early. Supermarkets that were 24 hours are closed at 10. So it's like, we got to break people out of that habit of going to bed early and get them out to the late show. But while they're going to the earlier shows, like doing the 4 o'clock on Sunday, I'm like, that's a good idea.
Jeff was saying, he goes, my crowd needs to be able to, they don't drive at night. They need to be able to be home before the sun is down.
Yeah. And even if you don't, even if you don't, you're younger, it's like if there's no sports game that you're into on Sunday, or like going out at 4 and being back at 6 or 7, it's a lot better for a lot of people than being back at 9 or 10, because you still got your regular Monday coming up.
Yeah, and it's good. And I like that he was saying too that, you know, you're doing some appearances on Fox News and getting known for that. And I said, well, that's great, because completely different acts. I mean, completely different styles. Both you guys, both really funny guys, but you have some commonality in an audience apparently now.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm on the show Gutfeld, which is like a comedy panel discussion, mm-hmm. if you don't know it. But I kind of have no rules for as to what my show is. It's like, people are always saying, oh, you got to find your voice. It's like, if you write this and it conflicts, don't use it. Yeah. I didn't care about any of that. Like, I just thought, if I think it's funny, I'll say it. And if it gets a laugh, I'll say it. All these people who make rules for how you do comedy usually didn't do comedy. So it's really not that important.
Let me ask this, and I don't know the man or really how the show works. When you're on a show like Gutfeld, which I know is a popular show, do they say, hey, we're picking you because we know your politics leans a certain way, or they just want you to be you?
They just want you to be you. No one ever tells you what to say.
That's great.
We have comedians on a lot, and some of them are you know, pretty left, but if you're willing to just tell jokes and have fun, I think it can be fun for anyone.
That's great. Terrific, man. And then I wanted to ask you this about your comedy, because as I'm watching this clip, I think I played the one about not bringing a baby into this world. I'm not going to do the whole bit. People will hear it later in the show. And I was just listening, and I some of your other bits, especially like the baby Hitler thing, which I think is one of the best bits I've ever heard. You have this, you get people on your side with logic before you hit them with the punchline. It's so great. How did you come up with that style for jokes, or even just those particular jokes? It's so good.
I write with a lot of logic. I used to do a lot of analogies when I was in elementary school, and philosophy in college, which wasn't that helpful. Yeah. But like, I'm a linear thinker, and I think a lot of comedy is just an argument, where you twist the logic a different way than you're normally hearing it. So it's like, okay, here's an idea. Here's what most people think, and here's another supporting fact, and then boom, you twist the logic at the very end in a way that they don't predict. And that usually is the ingredients for a good joke.
Yeah. It's like, I want to disagree with you, but after all of that, I can't. I concede with my laughter and my applause to your thoughts, Joe.
Yeah. And I find a lot of times where there's a conflict when you're doing a joke about politics or current events, it's where one of the things up front isn't a stipulated fact. So then you're trying to get people to agree with logic where they don't have the same foundation. So you got to make that broad enough that people are like, yeah, I'm willing to go along with that. Because I want the jokes to be funny for everybody. Because I laugh at jokes that I don't agree with. It's just, if the joke's funny, it's funny. If it's not, I think I could be on the jury of a comedian I didn't agree with their politics of.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a fun thing to watch a comedian who makes you think something different. You know, you went to the show and your eyes were opened a little bit, at least to a fact, without, sometimes it's boring, I think, when a comic just has everybody that agrees with them. You know what I mean? There's some of those guys that are so right on. And then people are cheering and applauding everything they say.
Yeah, it's like a guy. I mean, I support gay marriage, which isn't, I don't think, a courageous stand in 2024. And it certainly isn't in Manhattan. I saw a comedian say, like, I think homosexuals get married. Clap it up. Clap for that. And I was like, are you kidding me? You're in New York City. It's like, that's the easiest stand anyone ever took. Like, and the joke really didn't need it. And I just like, I guess it's, I also think it's kind of fun to take a side that I don't even agree with if I think I came up with a fun punchline.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. It's just like my ultimate goal is to have fun and for the crowd to have fun. Yeah. And a lot of ways you can do that is just by twisting the logic in a way that they don't expect.
Nice. That's a good way to put it, man.
Thanks.
So good. How long you been doing comedy? When'd you start?
Really, I did a couple open mics here and there, but I moved to New York in 2006.
Yeah.
Took a class and then, really was running from there.
That was it. That's great. That's good to know. Because I teach comedy class, and I tell you, you know, I said, look, you don't have to take a comedy class, but I think it can help you. I think it'll kind of get you on the way, having somebody to bounce your jokes off of.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think it's going to make you worse.
Yeah.
And, it's like, you're still going to be creative if you're creative. You're going to figure out how to break the rules once you're pretty good. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just like, you know, someone taught Picasso how to hold a paintbrush. You know, start, and then he was off and running. And I think the big problem some people have with comedy classes is that people were trading off their name because they worked for something. And like, I can, you know, it's like, if you want to do this, you have, it's really going to help if you took this class, but it really wouldn't. Yeah. Or people overpromised who was going to watch the graduation show. Oh. It's like, oh, we're going to be agents there. And I'm like, I don't really think agents, like, it's hard to get an agent to go to, like, your headlining set at Montreal. Yeah, like, it's right? they're not just going to open mics. It's just not a real thing.
We'll make 10% of this guy's bookings.
Yeah.
10% of nothing for several years.
It's like they don't want to waste their time either, so they're going to let the independent shows and then the clubs figure out who's funny, and then they're going to be like, okay, this is a good show. I'm going to go to that. That's it's kind of sucks that, like, you know, people are kind of embellished to take advantage of people who are, you know, the extreme of being a comic. It's just, it's like, I think classes can be great. It's the overpromising that I don't like.
I always tell my students, I say, when you're ready for an agent, they'll find you.
That's a good way of putting it.
If you're making money, they're going to find you and take their chunk off of that.
No one who's really funny, like, I guess it happens, but like most of the time it's like, someone's gonna be interested in you.
Absolutely. Well, you're doing so good, man. You haven't been at our club. I don't think you've been at our club since the pandemic, have you?
I made it here once a couple of years ago.
A few years ago. And I think certainly people are waiting to see you. It's going to be an exciting weekend. What do you do on the road to stay busy? Do you do anything? Do you write jokes during the day?
I write jokes during the day. I write for Gutfeld Remote Thursday or Friday.
There you go.
I'm working on a video game project with a company called Lethos. It's just like I keep busy. And the thing I like to do around town is I'd like to go walk the town. I've done so many tourists that like all the tourist things when I go to the city.
Right.
It's like, I find you get like a better, more ideas go through your head. Sure. If you're just walking around, hopping into a coffee shop or going into the park. It's like, it's like, it kind of sparks more thoughts than, you got to check out this donut shop. It's like,
I like what you're doing, and I think that's great. I think Royal Oak's the place to do it. We got all kind of coffee shops. We got parks.
Nice little town, yeah.
And Detroit weather this weekend should be really good for you.
Oh, nice. I'm looking forward to that, because it was like beautiful here, and then it really turned south today.
It rained a little yesterday, but now we're enjoying what we got. 78 degrees in late April. We'll take it.
Yeah, but it's going to be miserable during all of my shows, so you might as well be inside.
Oh, yeah. By the way, what I mean by that is it's been a nice night to go out and see some comedy this weekend with Joe Mackey.
No local sporting events are on TV either, so it's like, want to check out the show.
You know, we had hundreds of thousands of people in town for the NFL draft last weekend.
Oh, it was in Detroit.
It was in Detroit. And we still had amazing crowds that came out all weekend. They weren't football fans. They just wanted to see a good show. We had Ian Bagg last week. This show, every bit is good.
Oh, nice. Ew, did he do a good mix of jokes and crowd work? Because he was really good at like some organic crowd work.
Yeah, he does both. He'll go in and out of material. He'll do the crowd work that is, you know, different. He doesn't just ask people what they do for a living or, you know, how they met. He's asking them more sort of conceptual things, and it's brilliant. He thinks really fast, that guy.
I always thought it was a different take on crowd work.
It is, but at the same time, his audience now knows him from those little Instagram clips and the TikToks.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing that. How much of that are you doing?
I hate it, but I do it as much as I can. But like, I hate it, but it's also, it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, I see the benefit where you can kind of skip some gatekeepers if you're, you know, good. Because there were some comics I thought were great that really weren't getting an industry shot, like Andrew Schultz.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like it's a way to get around that. It's just like you take the good with the bad. It's like there's a lot of crowd work clips that are just mediocre crowd work. But
let's over you. Even if the clip's good, when you see the whole show might stink. You know, even hour of that. We had one guy, and I'll tell you what, he drew so well. Never seen this guy. And, you know, the next, he pretty much sold it out on like a Sunday night. The guy comes back next time, and it was like less than half the people. He didn't have the goods.
Look, if they can get that audience that way and then sustain it, good for them.
You got to sustain it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You want them to come back.
Yep.
You already got their money. They're there once. You got to get them to come back.
Yeah, I feel like you're always auditioning for your next thing. So that's a good thing to keep you working.
Well, I'm super excited that you're coming, Joe. This is a highlight for me. And again, we made this work after I'd already done the show. I could have said, I could have told your agent, no, I'm good. I got a show in the can. And I said, but I got to get Joe Mackey.
It sounds good. Yeah.
You're one of my favorites. I think everybody, if you haven't seen, again, stick around. I play a clip of Joe in a couple of seconds here on the show, and I want you to come out and see that. I also saw this on the clip that we pulled. Joe Mackey in a suit on stage. I like that.
I don't know what clip you have. So
we had a clip.
I must have been doing something.
We had a clip. We play the. It might have been. We play the video before the shows. You know, like for the last couple of weeks before the show starts, they've been watching clips of the comics.
Oh, okay.
And they had one of you in a suit, and I thought you looked good up there.
Yeah, that must have been the Tonight Show.
Yeah, but not a suit guy now. That's not a change.
Yeah, once in a while, if it's a big deal, like I hosted Gutfeld. On April 22nd, and that was my first time doing it, and I was like, I'm going to wear a suit.
Yeah.
But very rarely. Someone told me early on, it's like, when you're on stage, it's hard to be comfortable, so you might as well be comfortable where you can.
Interesting.
So I dress, you know, comfortably, and usually back with T-shirt and jeans.
Nice. Well, Joe, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking to me. I know I made you wait around a little bit while I was hustling the podcast fans into a line.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. We'll see you this weekend, man.
Sounds good. Okay, take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there it is. Joe Mackey from April 24. But he's with us this weekend. We want a crowd. We had no crowd. You heard me talking to Jacory. We had no crowd. We had a lot of snow. I get it was bad. I'm not mad at you. Made for some awkward shows with Zach Martina, but Zach did a great job. Yeah, shout out to Zach. I should have done this at the top. Zach did a great job. Dealing with small audiences, weird audiences, people that were just happy to be in out of the snow. So great job last week in Zach Martina. But this weekend, Joe Mackey, Diego Attanasio, and as you heard, Jacory Hawkins. It's going to be one of the best lineups of the year. I always say that when Joe's here. You get strong openers, and we got him this week. So thanks to Jacory for talking to me, and thanks to you guys for listening. Again, comedy classes, they're starting up again in January. The advanced comedy class with me starts January 10th, and Bill Bouchard's beginner comedy classes start all the time, so call the club at 248-542-9900 to find out more about those. If you have any questions about the advanced comedy class or this podcast, you can email me, and we'll let you do that. Joel the Comic, all one word, at gmail.com. JoelTheComic@gmail.com. If you have any questions for me about this podcast, about the advanced comedy class, we'll answer them. We want you in there. We want to thank you guys for listening. Enjoy Joe Mackey this week. What a great week to come out. And we'll catch you next week for the Comedy Castle podcast. Bye-bye.